First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. My subject this morning is Christ, the only mediator. Christ, the only mediator. Now, the need of a mediator is at the heart of the Christian faith. And you can study all religions. There is none that will suggest or propose a powerful mediator. And this is what we will do our best to explain this morning. And the purpose is for you and me if we are still outside the kingdom of God. You know, there are only two kingdoms: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. There are only two destinies: eternal life or eternal condemnation. But there are also only two destinations: heaven or hell. There is no middle ground. There is no third alternative. Actually, God doesn't give us even alternatives. God doesn't give us options. So that's why, look at the verse again. It says, for there is one God. Now, in the Old Testament, the text, you don't have to turn to that text, but it is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25. It says there, if one man sins against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? So that's the question. You and me, we have sinned against God. Who will intercede for us? Who will mediate our case? Because we have bluntly, willingly rebelled against the one who made us. But now, when you ask people in the world, they will say, oh, look, there are so many religions. One God is as good as another God. Are they not all the same? No, my dear friends, they are not all the same. No, my dear friends, all religions are not the same. No, my dear friends, all gods are not the same. Because the problem for you and me is that all our merits, all the good works we can do, no matter how sincere you can be, because sometimes people say, what about that religion? What about the other religion? People are sincere there. But you see the problem, you and me, we can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. And this is happening so many times in this life. All our good works, man's effort, man's prayers, man's tears, man's sacrifices, nothing will be able to remove, to eradicate or obliterate our evil works. Unless you have a high opinion about yourself. My dear friends, nothing I can do. There is nothing you can do that will remove, will lift up the burden of your sins. Please, if you get nothing from this sermon this morning, remember this. Remember this. There is nothing you can do to remove or to unburden your soul. Why? Because you have rebelled against God and I have rebelled against our Creator, my Creator. And we are told in the Word of God that there is nothing you can do to deliver your soul from the power, the dominion of sin. And the guilt, there is a heavy guilt upon us. And here is what I want you to remember. Salvation is by grace. God has nothing to sell. You can be a tradesman, you can be a tradeswoman, but God is a giver. He doesn't sell anything. So I want to explain this verse because it is so simple. You can count how many words in English. For there is one God, but there is one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus the man. Very simple. And I believe this is the proof. This is the proof. People ask us, what is the proof that God wants me to be saved? Here is the proof. Here is this verse. What is said in the verse is really the warrant. It is the guarantee that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, this is the proof that God wants you to be saved. In explaining the verse, I have three headings. And as I often mention this to you, I always want to keep the gospel as simple as possible. It is simple that a child, we have some children among us, that the children will be able to say, I understand I'm a sinner. I understand that I have insulted God. I understand that I have lifted myself up. I'm full of pride in my heart, and I'm a proud person. I think my righteousness will give me way to God, but God says, no, there is no way. Even a child can understand the gospel. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be from an elite. You don't have to be a sophisticated person. You know, some people, they say, when you don't believe in God, oh, you are an intelligent person. Bible says, not believing in God, you are a foolish person. Only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But here is my first heading. There is only one God. And right back in the book of Genesis there, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Right there from the beginning, you know, I'm sure most people in this church will know that verse by heart. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, Bible doesn't start with man. If you have written the Bible, if I have written it, I will start with man, with myself. But right there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, there is what is called the Shema Israel. The commandment, the first commandment given to the nation of Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Ahad. The Lord God is one. And this is where you want to be saved today. You are a sinner. You want to fellowship with the living God. Here is where you have to start. There is only one God. He is great. He is high. He is majestic. He is the unity of God, the oneness of God, the threeness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yet mysteriously one God. Mysteriously one God. Not three gods, but one God in three persons. Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. There is one true and living God to all men, for all men, all kinds of people at all times. You see, when you look at the history of our world, if you go back, if you want, to Egypt of the past, not the modern Egypt, in Egypt, every day has its own God. When God was judging the nation of Egypt, you remember how God judged them in the time of Moses? He sent upon them 10 plagues. And every one of those plagues was to judge one of their gods. And Pharaoh, the big Pharaoh, the great Pharaoh. He thought himself as a god. Now, you go to the city of Athens. This is the Greek Empire. You remember again, I'm sure some of you are already accustomed and familiar with these things. In the city of Athens, they didn't want to vex any god. They didn't want to make any god angry. They worshipped all sorts of gods. And finally, because they didn't want to make any god vexed, they even had an inscription in the city center, in the center of the city. And on that inscription, they have put, "To the unknown God, to the unknown God." And this is why when Paul visited the city of Athens, and there with the Stoics, with the Epicureans, with the philosophers of that time, he gathered them, they were gathered together there, and he said to them, "The God you do not know, this is the God I'm proclaiming to you today. And this is the God who commanded that men everywhere ought to repent. You ought to repent. You have to repent. Because without repentance, the Lord Jesus Christ said, we shall all perish." One God. Now, if you take Hinduism, you know, in Hinduism, they have 300 million gods. It's like everyone is a god. Oh, my dear friends, you see the verses, there is only one God. One God. Atheism, agnosticism, pantheism, all the isms of this world may deny the existence of God, but the fact that you deny the existence of God doesn't stop him from being God. My dear friends, every logic, if you reason with your head, you know that there is God. Just look around you. Just please look around you. Do you see the trees? Do you see the sky? Do you see the moon? Do you see the stars? Look at even one another's faces. Just look at one another's faces. Do you think this came from nothing? Have you ever seen nothing coming from nothing? You know why people deny God? I tell you, very simple. You know why people deny God? Because they don't want to give account to anyone. And God has created us with a soul. He has created us with a need to relate to him. Nobody is independent. You hear people are saying, "Oh, this man is a self-made man." No, that is a big lie. God made us, and this is why the heaven and the earth declare the existence of God. Every law of nature, every law of logic says that God created this world. Creation is too beautiful. It's too beautiful. You know, even when you look at the expression of a person's face, you look at the smile from the face of a happy person, that doesn't come from nowhere. Why do husbands love their wives and wives love their husbands? Is this coming from nowhere? Because God made us. God made us and he gave us love because he is love. He gave us to fellowship with one another because he wants us to fellowship with him. Is somebody among us who is still without the Savior? Oh, if I can weep for you, if I can weep for you, if I can pour all the tears of my body for you, I will do that. But I can't. Only God can save you. And he made you. So Paul here, under inspiration, tells us that there is only one God. It is a big lie to think that there is one God for this religion and there is another God for that religion. It is a big lie to think that there is one God for this culture and there is another God for this culture. It is a big lie to think that there is a God for this race and there is another God for that race. for all men, to all men, all kind of people, all around the world, there is only one God. It is again a big lie to think that God allows us to worship any kind of God. But I think I shouldn't waste your time with this. Instead of us discussing or reasoning or even argumenting, is there God or is there no God? No, actually, there is, here is the argument. We should be discussing, how can I know this God? How can I know him? How can I fellowship with him? How can I have my sins forgiven? Because I know there is one God, but I have rejected him. I have rebelled against him. I have made myself God instead of worshiping the living God. There is one God. Isaiah 45, verse 22. You don't have to turn there, but that verse says again, look unto me, all ye nations and people of the earth, for there is no other God. And be saved. You look to God. The only thing God is asking you and me to do is to look at him. Young man, think about the purpose of life. Young woman, think about the purpose of life. Is this life only what there is? Or there is something greater? There is something bigger, certainly, than just this life. Instead of us discussing if God is there or not, we should really be concerned about salvation. And we have offended our Creator and we cut ourselves from him. There is only one God. And creation is too beautiful to have made itself. Man is not the product of chance. Please, as I close this first heading, I tell you four or five things that reveal God to you. The first one, in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the Bible says that heaven and earth declare the existence of God. Number two, your conscience. Your conscience, where you are sitting now, your conscience is telling you there is God. Because God has implanted in us eternity. That is why we are not like animals. Otherwise, if you didn't have a soul, you will be like just a sophisticated animal. But we are million times superior than animals. God has made us in his image, and God has breathed in us a spirit and a soul. So when we die, the body goes to the dust, but our soul is transported to be with the Lord Jesus Christ if we have believed in him. But if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul goes immediately. To a place, Bible calls it a place where there is only teeth gnashing and weeping. The heavens and the earth declare the existence of God. Your conscience declares the existence of God. The Bible, the word of God declares the existence of God. That's number three. The fourth one is the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. He is God. He became a man. He took the body, our body, but he remained without sin, blameless, spotless. And he remained God even in that body as a man. That's why we call him the God-man. My dear friends, man will never become God. It is God who came in a human body. And at 33 years old, are you 33 or younger? Oh, I think at 33, this is where you want to enjoy life. You want to enjoy life. Life is good, you think. You want to bite life, full teeth. But that's the age when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And he did it not for anything he has done. I can quote you so many verses in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, where it says that the Lord Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. The innocent one was crucified on the cross of Calvary for us, the guilty ones. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. But he died for you and me to have the righteousness of God, to be united with God. The heavens and the earth, your conscience, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the fifth one, we could really give you a whole list of things that are declaring that there is God. The testimony of Christians. Are you a Christian? What is the purpose of your testimony? There is one God, but also one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus the man. Every testimony you have of a Christian, if you are a Christian, the first thing you say in your testimony, I was a sinner, but Jesus Christ died for me. And I repented from my sins. I trusted in him, and he gave me life. I could even say, you know, some people say science says there is no God. Good science says there is God. Good science says there is no God. No, science says there is God. Evidence after evidence. I must come to the second heading. Look at the verse again. It's not only there is one God, but the verse says there is also one mediator. One God, heading number one, heading number two, one mediator. Look at it there. And this is, as I said from the beginning, this is what makes the Christian life to be unique and to be exclusive. One mediator. Not just God is one, but Christ is the only mediator. Please, do you see something there? Not Moses, not Muhammad, not Mary. Some people, even maybe you are here and you think Mary one day will plead for you before. Oh, no, I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's not in the Bible. Mary herself praised the Lord Jesus Christ. Later read Luke chapter 1. Mary praised the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want, Jesus Christ is the creator of his own mother because he is her God and her Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator. Not the Pope, not a church, not a religion. Not a priest. Some people think their pastor will stand for them in heaven. No, he won't stand for you. He has to stand for his own sins. The Pope will not stand for you. Christ Jesus is the only mediator. Christ alone has been ordained to be the mediator. You know the passage, John chapter 14, verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke and he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody, no one comes to the Father but by me. One mediator. We need an advocate because we have waged war against our Maker. And the one God is also the one mediator. Do you see the relationship there? The one God is also the one mediator. So the two are the same. The Father and the Son are one in saving us from our sins. The need for a mediator is a reminder again that we have rebelled against God. Our sins have erected a wall because God is holy. We are sinful. My dear friends, some of us still think, oh, there is something good in us. There is nothing good in us. Our hearts are depraved. Our hearts are corrupted. Our hearts are polluted. That's why we need the cleansing. You know, bleach will not clean your heart. Soap, if you want to use all the soaps of the world, use all the bleach, all the detergent of the world. Nothing can cleanse a filthy heart, unrighteous heart. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, Christ is mighty to cleanse us from all our sins. Oh, my dear friends, God cannot just forgive. We must repent. We must believe in the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The mediator said, go between us and God must be a perfect man, a perfect person. And only the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect man. He is divine and he is human. Salvation hangs totally upon him. But do you see the titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at the titles. I'm almost done. Look at the titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ there. The first one is the Christ. What is Christ? Christ is not his surname, by the way. Christ is his title. It is his attribute. He is the anointed one. He is the special one. He is the chosen one. That's the meaning of the word Messiah. He is Christ. And because he is Christ, he is our prophet, he is our priest, and he is our king. He is well qualified to save us from our sins. Look at the second name. Not only he is Christ, but he is also Jesus. What does Jesus mean? God is Savior. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. How do you want to be saved? Or do you want to be saved today? Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, says the word of God. The Savior, Jesus, went to the cross to redeem his people. He paid and he purged our sins by his own blood. But look at the third attribute given to him there. He's the man. He's a man. You see, he's God, but he's also a man, so he can strike on both sides. He can strike on the side of man. He can strike also on the side of God to bring the two parties together in full peace. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that Christ only is able to bring that peace in your soul this morning. If you trust in him, he will reconcile you with the living God. He stood in the middle, representing both God and man because he's the God-man. He was not a man, but he became a man. He was not one of us, but he became one of us. But yet he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the only one to die for sinners. He is also the only one to rise again from the dead. My dear friends, as I close, please just think about it. And to my shame, I speak about myself, but speaking about you also, to our shame, let's say, we have lost any sense of wonder. I think. You know why I'm saying this? God became a man. That should wonder us every day when you wake up. God became a man, someone like me, in order to save me. But he still remained God in order to capture me, to attract me to himself and to save me. God desired nothing from us. We bring nothing on the table. There are no peace talks. This is not about negotiation. Oh, my dear friends, don't lose that sense of wonder. God became a man. Christ, the eternal God and the Son of Man, is our Savior, and he is the only mediator between God and me. So may I challenge you as I close? Come to God. For all people, there is only one God and one mediator. For all type of people, there is only one God and one mediator. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do not stop praying. We pray without ceasing that thou will turn a heart, even one heart this morning. Oh Lord, let it be that something has been said to turn one sinner away from himself and to help him to look up to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save, who is able to give him a new heart, who is able to give him a new nature. Oh Lord, bless us and visit us in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.